learning to open up that possibility that things aren't what they appear to be sometimes in our eyes. Something beyond that. Well, this morning for our communion scriptures, they're not the traditional ones that we tend to think of from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but there are a lot of places that really show us the intimacy and the coming in union with it, a coming in agreement with the Lord. And every once in a while, I like to go to Psalm 103. In the first five verses, well, actually, I'm going to throw another one in, verse 6 today. That's the bonus one. Because he said not to forget all his benefits. Amen? Amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Then he said it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, reasoning, as you talked about. And sometimes that can be very contrary with what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, he's basically speaking to his mind and saying, mind, you need to be renewed. You need to get a hold of yourself. That kind of thinking can be very dangerous. So today, mind, you're going to bless the Lord. And the mind is, oh, no, not today. You don't know what happened this morning. I don't care. We're going to bless the Lord. Have you ever had random thoughts like that? And suddenly the Holy Spirit snaps you conscious and says, bless the Lord. Because it's an act of, not only an act of our will, to submit to his will to bless the Lord, but David had some troubling times too. I haven't been hiding in a cave for my life yet, but I know where there is one if I need it. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, again. And forget not all his benefits. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our thoughts about how bad something is, how terrible something is, how frightening something is, how outlandish something is, how we've been wronged by somebody, how we've been slandered by somebody, maybe lost your job, maybe just all kinds of things can happen in our life. And we forget, briefly, all of his benefits. I like the word benefits because people generally think about what's in it for me. You know, when you're looking for another job, instead of going to a prospective employer and telling him and convincing him the reason he needs to hire you is because you have qualifications that could really benefit and be a profit and an advantage to his business. No, what do? We go and expect it. What can we get? What's he going to give us if we go to work for that person? How much per hour? How much per week? How much overtime? Do they have health insurance? Do they have life insurance? Do they have a retirement fund? So when I think of benefits, God's going to list a few benefits of following him, of worshiping him, of having a relationship with him. Because he says, and don't forget, and it says all. Don't just remember the big ones, remember the little benefits. Who forgives all, I'm going to just say our because collectively, but you can make it personal, who forgives all of my iniquities. And when I think about that, and I look at that word, it's written in the present tense. If you know anything about English, going back to your school days? A present tense word means now. It never changes. So God's forgiveness is now. However long ago this was written, but it says all. It forgives all of our iniquities. Every time we fell short of the mark, however you want to dress it up. Every time we took that left turn that I talked about a little while ago. There's forgiveness. If you recognize it and the Holy Spirit is wooing you and saying you need to tighten up in that area of your life. But I'm here not only to forgive you, but to get you pointed back in the right direction and you can be on your way and enjoy those benefits of forgiveness. But with one condition. You remember what Jesus brought as a new commandment? That we're to love others in the same manner that he loves us. Got to remember the love. But forgiveness. Who heals? Present tense. Healing is available. Healing is present. All our diseases. These are promises. You can read them for yourself in whatever translation of the scriptures you have. But this is what the Lord is speaking to us today. Because we have that relationship with him. Communion is about the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that relationship already established. And God forgave us. Just like Jesus forgave those who put him on the cross. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's hard for some people to do that. But you don't know what that person did to me. No, I probably don't. But I've had a few been done wrong to me too in life. And I carried that for many, many years. And it didn't take me anywhere except a pity party, a big sack of taters on my back or turnips or whatever, but a load. And I found out after I got saved, within minutes, how that sack just dropped off my back and I never had to carry it again because I forgave every single person that I ever knew that had ever wronged me for the past 33 years before I got saved, and it was gone in an instant. I didn't realize all those years that I was the prisoner. And I know I just got set free through forgiveness. So not only has God done that for us, he's entrusted forgiveness to others. Only God had the power to forgive. And even Jesus was chastised by the priests of the day. Only God can forgive sins. And they got so angry and upset with him because they didn't realize it was God standing right before them, face to face, God in an earth suit. And then when the disciples were born again, the first thing Jesus said, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whoever you won't, then they won't be, because in your thinking and in your heart, they're always going to be bugging you. They're always going to be getting under your skin and bothering you about something that was done 25 years ago, back when Uncle Charlie did this or Sister So-and-so did that to me, and they're still not forgiven because you didn't use your power, your authority, your right, your benefit, your privilege to forgive them and let them go free so that you can be free. These are all provisions that we have right here, right before our very eyes. Who heals all our diseases. We all know that Jesus is the chief physician. And even though we can go and get cut, have things taken out of us, have things put back in place, and have 49 stitches across our forehead or whatever, it's God who manifests the healing. We have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful physicians and surgeons and the top of the best medical services in the whole world. The whole world is in envy at America's medical system and health system. Nobody has anything like we have. They come, dictators and leaders from all over over the world come here to get what we can drive 10 miles over the hill to get. But it's the Lord himself who manifests the healing. Even if we've been to a doctor or a surgeon and we've had work done, it's because of the Lord that it heals afterwards, isn't it? They just hold it together with some stitches. But they don't do anything else with the skin. It starts growing back together. Cells begin to multiply because that's the way the Father meant for us to be all along until old Slewfoot showed up in the garden. It is amazing, Stuart. You're absolutely right. I've been there with you a couple times. And what he did was a magnificent, beautiful, beautiful work. Because when they start messing with the insides of you, and they're going to put you night-night, that's a step of faith. Because you don't know if you're going to wake up or not. You hope the anesthesiologist doesn't decide that's his last day of work, and he's not going to finish with you. You could take a really long nap. Yep. Next one, verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, my. We were joking last week about, just briefly, about all the stupid stuff we did. The wildness and the abandonment of any sense of, why do I need to refrain from that? I grew up in the 60s, and that slogan was, if it feels good, do it. It did feel good, and I did do it. And that's the end of that. But it was so empty. Oh, you two back there? Got an amen corner back there, huh? Yeah. Got us in a lot of trouble, too, didn't it? Mm-hmm. So many times. I was hitchhiking in Texas once to Mexico. Typical GI, you know why we went to Mexico. And we got picked up by this guy that had been really, really heavily drinking. But in Texas, for miles and miles and miles, there's no turns in the road. It's just a straight shot. And my friend and I got in the car, and this guy took off. And it wasn't too far down the road before suddenly, as the Texas highways are, you can go 20 miles without a turn in a road, and all of a sudden there is one. And the turn that ended up happening was the car turned over about 4 or 5 times, sitting in the back seat, and it was free falling in slow motion. And the car just tumbled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And my friend, first he was up here, then he was crushing me. Then he was back over here, and I was over there. And this little dance was continuing all a matter of seconds. But that car saved our lives. Somehow, we didn't get thrown out of the vehicle. But I'll tell you, as soon as we could get out of that car, we got out of that car and sent that guy on his way. That could have been really a really fatal thing. Drug overdoses. When I take these scriptures personally, because this is what the Lord has done for me. This is my testimony today. He saved my life from destruction. Every time I go on an airplane, the last version of my journals that I just published, I think it was back towards the fall, or maybe it was summer, I don't know. But I added up all of the known airline miles that I have flown and traveled by plane. And they equaled 8.5 times around the world at the equator. And now, that's 25,000 miles at the equator, the Earth's diameter, and around it this way at the equator. And my air miles that I've flown, just on those missions trips, not counting all the times in the military I flew, all the times Faith and I have traveled, but the trips alone, and I was astounded. And I was just so thankful that on every single one of those trips, there was never an engine failure. There was never any mechanical issues. We never ran out of fuel. We hit some turbulence a few times to where the flight attendants had to stop serving a meal briefly. But not one time have I ever had anything bad happen in all those times when I was flying. Because that's why a lot of people won't fly. They're not afraid of flying. They're afraid of dying. That's the truth of the matter. You see the white knuckles on people beside you. They're sitting there getting hammered because they're petrified. When that plane leaves the ground, you better believe that you've got a good pilot up front. And be thankful. Because so many things can happen. And all it would take was something so minute. How many of you remember the British Concorde that looked like a goose when it took off and had a long nose and the neck on the front of that plane? That plane took off from Paris one day. From Paris to New York, it was only a 4-hour flight. But going down the runway, a tire hit a metal fragment that had fallen off another aircraft, got caught in the tire, and it spinned it into the engines. That plane took off, and it went down in a ball of flame, and everybody perished in that crash. The tiniest little thing, and none of those things have ever happened in my life and all the flying. So I want you to, as I'm talking, you should be thinking about times when you may have had some experiences in your life where maybe you didn't give God the credit for it at times, but looking back, I think a lot of us could say he saved our life from destruction. And the ultimate destruction he saved us from is the flames of hell when we got saved. And if you can't think of any other benefits today, I'll tell you, that's a good one.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, when you read scriptures like this and how thankful it makes you. And then I just really love this. I have this little crown up here. Ain't I cute? This crown reminds me of this. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's why it's there. Because it reminds me that of all that's happened in my life, I think about what God has done in spite of my long years of rebellion and stubbornness. All the people in Dallas Falls that wanted to get me saved. The people I worked with in Florida in a sweatshop. Rick, you need Jesus. No, I don't. I still got dope in my bag. I'm good. I work nights so I can go down to the beach, hang out and party all day, and then go to work. No problem. I'm good. But I never knew. Kindness is one thing, but loving kindness is even better. So when I invent words like gooder, this is one of them. Kindness is good, but loving kindness is gooder. Yeah, more gooder. And tender mercies. When you were speaking a few minutes ago, that reveals that tenderness and merciful side of the Father's heart, doesn't it? Because it's true. He could have wiped them all out, but he didn't. In verse 5, I can't tell you how many times I've learned to speak the word over my life. Why should I speak words of death anymore when we got the word of life?
Amen.
You know, I love bathing myself in the word, the washing of the water of the word. It does something about washing all that crappy thinking. Joyce Myers calls it stinking thinking. It doesn't even come close to being anything like the faith walk that God has called us to. When we get into those mindsets and we wallow in it and stay in it for a while, and we know we got to do something to get out of it. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm standing before you with youth that has been restored to me that the enemy stole out of my life in my prime years of life in my 20s and early 30s. I don't even know what you're supposed to feel like at the age of 77. But I'm telling you, I'm loving life like I never knew it existed. And every day, I thank God for renewing my youth like the eagles. So if you start losing hair, don't worry about it. It's prophetic of feathers. One day you're going to fly away. And eagles renew themselves by going off to a remote place and they pull out all of their feathers. And then new feathers come in and grow back. And that's a period of time for that eagle to renew itself, to refresh its strength, renew and strengthen itself. And our life is parallel like that eagle. And sometimes I say we have a choice in Christianity. We can go around like chickens and just peck in the dirt on the ground, or we can soar like the eagle. And I like this because it tells me that we can soar like the eagle above those things. When I first got saved, I remember Oral Roberts talking about his neighbor. His neighbor was a farmer. And he asked him, "How are you doing today?" And the farmer said, "Not bad under the circumstances." And Oral Roberts said, "What are you doing down there?" And I've never forgotten that. 38 years ago, I've never forgotten that. Just because we're in circumstances doesn't mean we have to be bound by them. Or under them, because we've been seated together in heavenly places with Christ, far above all powers and principalities, far above, seated at his right hand. That's our spiritual position. So anytime circumstances come upon us, we need to see it as God sees it. And those are our communion scriptures today. It's a refreshing and a renewing and a reminding of some aspects of this covenant that we have with him called the New Covenant. And it's very precious and very valuable. So when we bring the trays around and we bring the blood, think about the power of the blood. There is no blood ever in any living thing that can ever do what the blood of Jesus has done for us. And there's no one that I know of that ever said, "Rick, I love you so much, I'm going to just go hang on a tree and die for you." And I bet nobody's ever done that for you either, except the one. Benefits, privileges, priceless treasures. And so today, communion may seem a little different, but we're celebrating the greatest covenant that ever could be, and that's relationship with our Heavenly Father. Don knew my earthly father. I couldn't wait to get out of the house and put thousands of miles between the two of us. Because that's how we grew up as kids. But now we have a Heavenly Father that has so blessed us and given us a new life. Would you go please hand out the bread? Thank you for your help. I appreciate it. I like helpers. Father, we thank you. We thank you as this bread comes around to us today that we're reminded of the one who loved us so much that he was willing to give his life to take those beatings and floggings, and with every stripe on his back was for our healing. The privilege of coming to you in times of need, when we're sick or hurting or not well, we can ask you for healing and believe it because Jesus has already paid for it. And we just thank you today. Even as we partake of this, somebody may be healed right in the middle of this, and that's okay. There's no law against healing. And I just thank you, Father, that your love was that lavish upon each of us. So thankful. thank you that your body was broken for us, freely given, that we might have life and life eternal. Thank you, Lord. I always like to say, think about the worst thing you ever did. And then know with God now, it doesn't exist anymore. He chose to forget it. And he threw it as far as the east is from the west. He threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to look upon it again. That's the new you in Christ. And that's what we're celebrating today. So let's eat this bread. Oh, I guess we miss Kenny. He's probably downstairs. He's going to have to eat on the stairs. I got ahead of the thing. What's that, Stuart? I didn't swallow it yet. You're still... Oh, my goodness. This is supposed to be a holy celebration. And it is. It really is. But I don't know how many of you never had joy in your life. I can't answer for you. Only you can. But was there ever a time in your life you might have been happy with circumstances, but did you really have joy? It came with Jesus, didn't it? When Jesus moved in, joy came with him. They go well together, Jesus and joy. Inseparable. Peter described it, unspeakable joy and full of glory. Oh, I like that. Unspeakable. How do you describe that? Well, after we've had this celebration of his blood, we're going to know and be reminded again. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sit down at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? He's making intercession for you. Jesus is praying for you. So when you're alone and you're lonely and you're going through a tough time, always remember that because of this blood that Jesus applied on the mercy seat in heaven. And now we sit down at the right hand of the Father. That work is complete. We have the benefit of that. But just know that he's praying for you. Yeah, go ahead. I love the book of Hebrews so much, and especially chapters 8 through 10, because it talks about this blood so powerfully. That there's no other sacrifice. None of the old covenant sacrifices could ever remove sin. Covered them over. Couldn't do anything about the conscience or the guilt or the shame. But it was a foretaste. It was a foreshadow of the Lamb of God that would come and shed his blood. And his blood, one offering, one sacrifice forever. And there will never be another one. There will never need to be another one ever. This is it. And we have the joy together of participating in that. Every time we have communion, coming in union with, coming in agreement with, coming together, not only with the Lord, but with each other. This really is a celebration of joy. And I know sometimes people get really sad and feel sorry for Jesus, what he went through, and maybe feel guilty about that. But Jesus didn't feel guilty. He said for the joy that was set before him. I'm glad he felt joy. I'm glad he experienced joy. Because the joy that he knew was on the other side of the cross. He saw you in his kingdom. All of you. And he also knew that the Lord was going to raise him from the dead. That's good. If you're going to do what he did, you got to know that. And you know what? Each of us have been raised from the dead spiritually too. Our earth suits, you know, they're not going to weather that one unless he comes back while we're alive. And the scripture says that in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed that quick. But right now, you've already entered God's promise of eternal life. live it to the fullest because of the life that he lived and gave for us in Jesus' name. Here's to the King. To the King Eternal. You can go around and brag, your daddy's a king. And actually, the king will bow down to him. He's Lord. Whatever king you put in your life was going to bow their knee. Let it be Jesus. Amen? I know you're just bubbling over that. I know you.
I love, you know what happened exactly when Jesus died, when he died, what happened? He says, the veil was rent in twain. We can come before him on our own. We don't have to have somebody.
Thank you, Angie.
We don't have to go to anybody. I don't care where we are in the world. That veil was rent in twain for you and for me. That excites me when every time I read that. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yep.
What you did.
Direct access.
Amen? Wow, what God did for us, church. Wonderful.